Welcome back in the Morning Blitz, sponsored by Firehouse Subs. Mike Bernard of OTM Sports, based out in Las Vegas, still with us. Wrapping up coverage of this year's College Football Playoff National Championship game, Clemson 44, Alabama 16. Mike, before we move on and take a look at next year, before we actually get all the uniforms washed and put away from this year, we'll go ahead and start looking at next year. But, again, I think you and I agree that the turnovers were the key to this game, and you have to take your hat off to Brent Venables and that Clemson staff, because they ran a lot of what I call key buster coverages. They gave Tua one look pre-snap, another look immediately post-snap, and then ran a different coverage. And the pick six, when the defensive back came off of the his pretend coverage and jumped that underneath route, Clemson knew exactly what Alabama would do if they gave them that certain look. And it's almost like the old basketball, you know, the pick and go. That's basically what that amounted to. And that got Clemson off on the right foot. And even though Alabama did come back to take the lead 16-14, you know, Clemson was pretty much, they knew that they had a very good chance of winning that football game after jumping out and getting those defensive points.
Yeah, it was a great game plan, but as you and I have talked so often, on paper, it looks great, but Clemson is one of maybe two or three teams that have the athletes to do it, and they did it. And Brent Venables, he's the best in the game. He's the best defensive coordinator, and that culture at Clemson is such a positive culture. He doesn't want to go take a head coaching job. He'd rather stay there, and he chooses quality of life and that culture there.
Exactly. The other turnover off of the long interception, I don't know how many people noticed this, but that is the exact same play that Alabama won the national championship on last year. And as you've told me many times, and I look at it and I'm in agreement with you, that Tua was always going there. He was always going to throw the ball to Smith back in that national championship game mm-hmm. versus Georgia last year. And I went back and I looked at that play several times, and I'm in total agreement with you. And you know, I also told you that if, you know, when I was coaching, I'm never going to be in hard press cover two when it's second and 26. I may show it to you, but I'm never going to be in it. And just like last year, Tua got that pre-snap look. And as you said, that's where he was going with the ball based upon that pre-snap look. Clemson did a great job. They showed the hard press cover two, and as soon as the ball was snapped, they came out of it. They ran two bail, which is what I've always told you I would have run in that second 26 situation. Had Georgia ran the same coverage that Clemson ran last night and Tua made that throw based off a pre-snap look, Georgia was probably the national champion last year.
Oh, no doubt. And, yeah, the one from 2017, you could tell Tua, once he knew he had looked off the safety, he was turning and throwing it, no matter where the other defensive back was. Mm-hmm. And actually, in the Clemson-Alabama title game, the Clemson guy was 5 yards ahead of the receiver and beat him to the ball. And obviously, that was another great disguise. But again, people ask me, hey, why doesn't every team take this blueprint? Well, every team doesn't have the athletes that Clemson does.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. When you can always draw nice things up on the whiteboard, but if you don't have the players that can execute that plan, it does you no good. As I've told you many times, we have a saying in coaching, it's not the X's and O's, it's the Jimmies and the Joes. If you don't have the Jimmies and the Joes that can execute those pretty plays, then you can't run them. But Clemson, they have those athletes.
They really do, and it's just amazing, and I know it's cliche, and we've heard it for years. This team reloads, this team rebuilds. Well, Clemson and Alabama, they just reload. Same with Georgia. It's again, Alabama and Clemson lost – combined 18 starters from 2017, and they were still heads above everyone else. And there's no reason to think that they're not going to be there next year. And coach, the college football odds and offshore casinos in Las Vegas are out, and it's amazing. There's 130 teams. And Alabama and Clemson. Clemson's the favorite at 9-5, meaning that if you bet Clemson $50 on Clemson, you only get 90. And Alabama's only getting 2.5-1. So those the next favorite is Ohio State at 12-1. So I want to go down the list and get some your thoughts on some of these teams because they're getting a lot of odds and. I'd like to get your thoughts on it.
Okay, well, first of all, obviously Clemson, you've got to look at them first because after, as you said, after losing all those players last year, now they return 8 offensive starters. And, of course, most importantly, I think they return Trevor Lawrence and Justin Ross. They were dynamic together. And on that defense that was so young, now they return 8 defensive starters. It's hard for me to look at Clemson and say, well, you know, they're not the favorite. But then Alabama, on the other hand, they return 8 offensive starters. And on that young defense that they had this year, they return 9 defensive starters.
Yeah, it's hard to look at 130 teams and say it's very likely for these two to do it again, but it is very likely. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking at the schedules now. Clemson's schedule, they don't have Notre Dame on that ACC Notre Dame rotation. They do have Texas A&M, but that game is in Clemson. Clemson's going to be a big favorite over every opponent next year. Alabama, they start out with a kickoff game. It's against Duke, an ACC opponent, but not the they'll play USC in 2020, but this year, in 19 rather, they start out with Duke. They do have Southern Miss, who's an improving team as a non-conference. Alabama has to go at A&M. They go at Starkville and at Auburn. So Alabama has a tougher road, but all those starters are back.
Yeah, and both Alabama and Clemson play Texas A&M. Watch out for the Aggies this year. Jimbo Fisher has changed the culture in College Station. And, again, not predicting two wins for Texas A&M, but it's not going to surprise me. Those are going to be very competitive games, just as the Clemson game was out in College Station this year. Now, you mentioned Ohio State, but also Georgia's got to be in this conversation too because they're returning 7 offensive starters, including Jake Fromm at quarterback, 8 defensive starters, and they're 2 special team guys. But as we reported earlier this morning, Jim Chaney is leaving Georgia to go to Tennessee to take the offensive coordinator's job there.
Right, that's going to have some effect, and Ohio State and Georgia are both 12-1. Next in line is Michigan at 14-1. Then you have Oklahoma, Texas, Nebraska, Washington. You go down the list, LSU, Auburn are 50-1. Florida's 25-1. Those numbers look extremely high to me as far as SEC opponents, especially LSU and Auburn, but I guess it's because they're in the SEC West.
Mike, also, we've talked a lot about Notre Dame. People said they didn't belong after they got shellacked in the Cotton Bowl by Clemson. I disagree with that. However, are they not in the conversation?
25-1, but you got to remember, third place, you know, or third choice, is 12-1. So Alabama and Clemson are the only single digits. And let's be honest, look at the playoff. Every single year, you're looking at 5 to 10 teams that have a legitimate chance. Mm-hmm. And the first five years of the playoff, mm-hmm. it's the same teams.
If Oklahoma, Kyler Murray, of course, I think he will go play baseball. I mean, that's a lot of money to turn down. But if by chance he could work something out with the A's and decide that I'm not going to enter the NFL draft, but I'm going to come back and play one more year at Oklahoma. Oklahoma is getting a new defensive coordinator from Ohio State, not Greg Schiano, and Grinch, the guy who had been out at Washington State and actually turned the defensive culture around out there under Mike Leach for the Cougars. He is coming in. He's going to take over that Oklahoma defense. I think he's going to make a difference there. He comes highly recommended because, now remember, Lincoln Riley started his coaching career under Mike Leach at Texas Tech. And I firmly believe that they've got a guy in there at Oklahoma now that can get this defense turned around. And they have 10 defensive starters returning next year. However, as a friend of mine used to say, hey, if you got 10 bad players and you return all 10 of them, you're not getting any better. And I don't think Oklahoma's 10 defensive returners are all bad players. Quite the contrary. I think a simplified scheme and more positivity in coaching, I think that's going to make a big difference in this Oklahoma defense. And even if Kyler Murray leaves, if they can find a quarterback to step in there, now they're not going to have another Baker Mayfield or Kyler Murray immediately step in because those two guys are special, special quarterbacks. But if they can just find a good manager, they've got enough weapons coming back on offense that Oklahoma could still be in the mix here.
If they win the Big 12, they might. That defense was just so terrible. It ranked around 100 in a lot of categories. And so no matter how great the new defensive coordinator is, I don't know if he could turn it around in one season. And look, Texas, they beat Oklahoma in 2018. Texas may win the Big 12, but I think Oklahoma's defense and if they're in a close race between a Big 10 or another, or maybe even a Pac-12 team of getting in the playoff, I think the Big 12 team might get left out because of they haven't had success in the playoff.
Mike, Texas Longhorns, you mentioned them, ended up 10-4 after starting the season off with losing to Maryland in College Park. Sam Erlinger, he stood before the Texas faithful down in New Orleans and said, "We're back." You know, I don't know if they are. A lot of people say that they mean it. You know, there's a difference between being back at 10-4, but going and actually playing for the national championship, two different things here.
No doubt. Back is Vince Young beating USC and ending their 34-game win streak. Colt McCoy taking the Texas team to play Alabama in 09. That's what Texas fans expect is back. But I'll say this, I do agree that they're on their way back. And they showed this year they can beat Oklahoma.
Yeah. Mike, I think one team that we really haven't talked much about in this segment, but I think it's a key year for Jim Harbaugh and the Michigan Wolverines. They return 8 offensive starters, only 5 on defense. But that defense is, you know, again, forget about the Ohio State game. That was just, you know.
Snowball, yeah.
Yeah, that was a snowball type deal. But I think this is a key year for Jim Harbaugh and Michigan. You know, I think, number one, he's got to beat Ohio State this year. He's just got to. If he doesn't and they flop again, I think there are going to be some folks saying that he's not the guy for the job in Ann Arbor.
Well, I think you're exactly right. I think people, especially Wolverine fans, will be saying that. But who is the guy? Jim Harbaugh is an excellent coach. He happens to play in the Big Ten East, and his arch rival is Ohio State, who's been a dominant team, averaging probably, I don't know, 13, 14 wins a year for 5 years. And I understand the fans want it, but if he's not the guy, who is?
Right. Much like Auburn fans, a lot of Auburn fans, you know, really don't want Gus Malzahn there. Not all of them, but a lot of them do. And my question to them is, great, fire Gus, who are you going to hire? And they can't answer that question, much the same way at Michigan, as you said there. All right, Mike, we got to wrap things up here, but before we let you go, let's talk about a dark horse that on this list that you see that could come up and surprise everyone.
Surprise everyone. I don't know how much of a surprise it would be, but outside of the top five, as far as odds are concerned, top five odds choices are Clemson, Alabama, Ohio State, Georgia, and Michigan. Outside of that, I would look at LSU at 50-1. I mean, that's a big number, and I know they have to get past Auburn and Alabama, but I mentioned Alabama's schedule. LSU does play Alabama in Tuscaloosa, but they've had success there, so that would be my long shot.
Mike, one team that I'm going to watch this year, and and again, I'm basing this off past history, and yes, it was at Central Florida, but he was able to turn it around that quickly. I want to watch Scott Frost and the Nebraska Cornhuskers this year, because there was some talent in Lincoln when Scott Frost got there. It was very undisciplined, not very dedicated, but there was talent there. He's upgraded the talent level immensely. Adrian Martinez, the freshman quarterback, he threw for over 2,600 yards. I think that even though they'll be missing Stanley Morgan, their number one receiver, I think that this is a year for Nebraska to make a statement under Scott Frost. And again, I'm not predicting that they win the national championship or anything, but it's not going to surprise me that if maybe they're not in the playoffs, they have a say-so of who gets in the playoffs.
Well, Nebraska's 25-1 to win it all. They do play in the weaker division of the Big Ten. They're in the West. So you could see them winning the West, and I agree with you. I think Scott Frost is going to be the guy, or is the guy down now at Nebraska. And I liked how they played towards the end. They started out awful. They lost their first five games or so. And they closed very strong. That's a good long shot pick. So we're looking at Nebraska at 25-1, LSU at 50-1. But coach, in the end, I think it's going to come down to Clemson, Alabama, Ohio State, and Georgia.
Looks that way. Nebraska, as you mentioned, they finished strong. One thing that just totally impressed me about Scott Frost, he never lost his football team. Even starting out 0-5, 0-6, whatever they started out, and finishing 4-8, that team did not carry themselves like a 4-8 team. They fought every Saturday for their head coach, and he fought for them. And they lost some heartbreakers along the way, games that they should have won.
Gut wrencher. Yeah, I mean, they blew leads and lost games in overtime. Sorry to interrupt, but you're right. That was exactly what I was thinking. Those kids could have quit, and they didn't quit under their coach.
Right. Okay, Mike, we're going to let you run, but we'll have you back tomorrow. We're going to talk some NFL divisional playoff rounds this coming weekend on Saturday and Sunday. And any opening thoughts there before we get you back tomorrow?
Well, I've got to get busy because, to be honest with you, I haven't even started my NFL work. I needed a couple of days to focus on NBA and college basketball and kind of recoup from the college football season. So I'm going to get busy today, and we'll preview all four games this weekend.
Sounds great. Mike Bernard from OTM Sports, based out in Las Vegas. He'll be back with us tomorrow talking NFL. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. GameDaySportsRadio.com.